Harvey the elf lived at the North Pole. He was a funny little fella with a heart of gold, but all the other elves would laugh and call him names. Well, he had warts on his neck and hair on his nose, an artificial hip and 15 toes, and a wild side no mother's love could tame.
Welcome to a special holiday edition of Tell Me About Your Song. Today I'm talking to Tracy Potocnik about a song of hers called The Ballad of Harvey the Elf. So, actually, in addition to my discussion with Tracy, there are some other recordings that I'm going to work in here and there as appropriate. I have no idea how I'm going to edit this together. But Tracy recorded some conversations between her and her dad and her and her mother, which are also relevant to this whole endeavor.
Why don't you tell us who you are?
My name is Eddie Potocnik. I'm the father of Tracy Potocnik.
And where are we now?
We are in West Virginia, at a place called Berkeley Springs, a lovely place it is, up in the mountains at the cabin of my son and his friend.
I'm Judy Potocnik, spouse of the famous Edward Potocnik, maker of the Harvey the Elf stories.
So, get out the eggnog and settle in for this conversation. Where would you like to start, Tracy?
I love a Christmas song. I love listening to Christmas songs. I have written a few in the past, and I just thought that this could make kind of a fun story in the spirit of those, like the claymation specials that were all the rage and still are, at least in my heart. You know, I think those sorts of characters, like you remember the Rudolph special that had Hermie the elf who wanted to be a dentist. Do you remember that guy?
Mm-hmm.
And sort of the Year Without a Santa Claus is one of my favorite ones, and it has the snow miser and the heat miser. So I feel like there are all of these sort of kind of off characters in those specials, those holiday specials that were designed for children. And so I thought that Harvey kind of fit in that genre, if you will. And so I wanted to write a song that would have lots of sort of licensing and merchandising opportunities attached to it.
Sure.
So my dad, it's funny, I'll say my dad was always a really great storyteller.
Mm-hmm.
When I was a kid and when my brother was a kid. And there was one series of stories, I suppose you could say, about Priscilla and Rainey, Priscilla being a little girl, and Rainey, the cat that she found in the rain. And the key plot point, or the key, I would say, distinguishing feature of Priscilla and Rainey is that Rainey could talk, which my dad, I think, conveniently forgot about in the story. But I remember it quite well because they would just communicate and they had all sorts of friends in the forest.
My memories are that Dad had to imbibe a little before his creative juices became apparent. And then he was great telling stories, making up fantasies for Todd and Tracy as they were growing up.
Did we enjoy the stories?
Oh, yes. I would be downstairs and Ed would be up with Todd or Tracy, whichever he was putting to bed that evening. And the kids would just be giggling and laughing hard. I was always jealous because I wanted to hear the stories too, because they had to be great.
At around the same age, 5 years, oftentimes I would take her and put her to bed and stories would ensue. One of the first was the great story of Priscilla and Rainey, which was a little girl in kindergarten who on one rainy afternoon walking home from school found this little cat huddled up that somebody had abandoned. So she decided to name him Rainey. And a great love of bloom between the two, and they had countless good times together, which I often related into stories for her about her and Rainey. Some she loved, some she'd get a little mad at me, but they were stories.
Why would I get mad at you, Dad?
Oftentimes, she just kept wanting to hear longer and longer stories. So I would add a little bit of a distress to the story concerning Rainey or the animals in the forest. And she said, that's enough, that's enough. And she would make me get out, so. And I feel good about that. It was just time. Not often, but every now and then.
Anyway, I love my dad's stories. And so he told, you know, when the occasion was appropriate, holiday themed. I don't know if appropriate is the right word when you're talking about a 5 or 6 year old. But it's funny because I don't remember distinctly the story itself. You know, I don't remember my dad telling me that story in particular. However, Harvey was always sort of a legend around our home. So every Christmas, we would get presents from Harvey. I think it was often the Lifesaver storybook. Did you get that for the holiday? It was like a little book, but there was a 4-pack of Lifesavers inside each side of all different flavors. Yeah, so Harvey was just always sort of a part of the household, sort of a family legend, if you will. But I didn't remember all of the specific details of the story. Do you remember how you came up with the story of Harvey the Elf?
Yeah, Harvey, I vaguely remember, maybe not all of it, but I think I just got kind of a little bit maybe tired of telling the normal Christmas stories, Rudolph, things like that. So I thought I'd become a little creative, if you will, and decided to tell Tracy's story about a different Santa Claus and who had happened to come that particular Christmas Eve. And I figured, why do it in the normal mode? I'd add a little, I'd embellish it a little.
Well, Harvey had good intentions, but not much sense, so he headed down south to Providence and landed on the roof of the Hog Club. Well, he thought he'd stop in for a little rest, but his scores of witnesses can attest, an elf in a bar on Christmas Eve gets a lot of love. Well, he had tequila and gin and rum on the house, spilled Maker's Mark on the barmaid's blouse. By the time the eggnog came, he was on the floor. So when I got it in my head to write the song, I went to my dad. You know, I was home for Thanksgiving, and I just said, you know, can you just remind me, what were some of the details of Harvey? Because we haven't really talked about specifics in a long time. He did not remember anything. He remembered that Harvey existed, certainly. And he did remember sort of the fundamental points, which is that Harvey like got really messed up. So everybody knows that Santa's sleigh has no keys, it has no engine, the whole thing is completely reindeer operated. And to get it to start up, you have to do one thing and one thing only, which is to say the names of the reindeer in consecutive order. Like so. On Dasher, on Dancer, on Prancer and Vixen, on Comet, on Cupid, on Donner and Blitzen. But Harvey was not in full possession of his faculties at this moment. So he climbed onto the rooftop, stumbled headfirst into the sleigh, and this is what he shouted.
1, 2, 1, 2, 3.
On Jackie, on Judy, on Marion and Joan, on Myrna, Anita, why won't you take us home? We're in quite a fix, if I say so myself, hollered Harvey the drunken elf.
So Santa finally makes it back, and he sees Harvey in his state. And Harvey's trying to be apologetic and what have you, and carrying on. And Santa says, well, Harvey, Christmas Eve is about shot anyhow. It's going to be no Christmas Eve this year. No Christmas. The little kids, the little boys, because of you, are not going to have anything under their tree. Be nothing but ashes in their stocks. Thanks, Harvey. You really did it this time. And I think that's pretty much about what it was. And that's pretty much the story of Harvey the Elf. There may have been more to it, but that was a lot of years ago. And yeah, it was a good one. I liked it. Tracy liked it. I think for about a week afterwards, she didn't talk to me. However, when she got up, there was stuff under the tree for her.
The other key part of the story, that Christmas was ruined, I think, was remain consistent. So some of the points that my dad talks about in my interview with him about the song, I do believe he borrowed from the song itself.
Sure.
Because I had to take some artistic liberties there, given that the story needed to be fleshed out just a little bit.
I ruined Christmas, Harvey cried in shame, full of guilt and doubt and blame. But what Santa said then brought him some relief. Oh, at first everybody was in a tizzy, without new iPads to keep them busy. But then they started to talk and laugh and sing. Harvey, you might be surprised to hear it, but you unearthed the Christmas spirit that no material stuff could ever bring. Well, Santa patted Harvey on the back and he tucked away his toy-filled sack. They were just about to take off through the trees. Ooh, but at that moment, Santa Claus looked down onto the street and paused. He said, Harvey, let's go have a round on me.
The amazing thing about this, before Tracy recorded this song, she was home with us, and I happened to mention it to her, and we were talking about it, and I asked her, I said, do you think you can write a song about this? And she said, sure. So she left the room. And it was probably an hour later, she's back with paper with all these words and everything, and she starts singing. That totally blew me away. It's not your, I would think, average Christmas song, but there's a lot of truth to it that probably what happens up at the North Pole on occasion. Not all the time, but on occasion. Yeah, I was flabbergasted with how quick she did it and how well she did it. Lovely song, lovely.
Yeah, I really did. I went upstairs to my childhood bedroom while the rest of the family was downstairs, and I just kind of whipped it out. You know, I guess I was pretty inspired to do it. And it's a very wordy song, so I'm actually impressed that I wrote that many words in a very short period of time. And, you know, certainly refined it a little bit after that, but I think kind of thinking about Harvey as this wannabe Lothario who sort of struck out with the ladies, and that being part of his motivation too, I think really hit me on that, on the chorus. And so once I sort of figured out that the, you know, that sort of twist of the chorus is that, you know, he has all these names that he repeats, and then when it's time to get the sleigh to start and say the names of the reindeer, he can't remember anything except for the women. I think that was kind of a little bit of the key to the song, and then the rest of it just sort of flowed from there.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a big, I would say in my writing, I'm a proponent of marinating. So I tend to, you know, get an idea, whatever it is, maybe it's a title or a lyric, a concept, et cetera, and just sort of sit with it for a while and kind of like walk around and let it, I guess, gather steam, maybe sort of subconsciously, and kind of work itself out a little bit. And I think this song was marinating for, you know, 3 decades. So in some sense, I think, you know, it was just kind of in there and I was sort of ready to write it. And so I think maybe that's why all of those words that were just somewhere subconsciously sort of floating around and finding their way together made their way out onto a page pretty easily. Although one thing that was sort of surprising to me, because this wasn't part of my dad's telling of the story, was that, you know, sort of that moment at the end where it's all fine and Santa's just cool with it. Because as I had mentioned in the original telling of the story, Christmas was just ruined and that was it. Good night, Tracy. Sleep tight.
Sure.
Good luck tomorrow. But in this one, I'm not a writer who's tends to have kind of happy endings to my songs, but I felt like for this one, it was just so peppy and cheerful. And so I like that it resolves in a way that's just kind of like, all right, everyone, it's cool. Harvey's bad, but it's fine. And of course, my dad loved it. He was so very excited about it. And my dad's funny. I had written him one song previously for his birthday, because ever since, my dad is he's a bit of a musician himself. He played saxophone when he was in high school, and he was also in a doo-wop group. I think they were called the True Tones. This was when he was in high school. I think that's right. And it was sort of I don't know if you're familiar with the group The Vogues. They were a 50s doo-wop group, but they came from Turtle Creek.
Oh, okay.
And so I think they were sort of modeled in the fashion of the Vogues, and the highlight of their brief career was singing at the Turtle Creek High School prom. Which I think was a pretty good gig. But my dad, yeah, so my dad is musical and likes to sing. And he's always giving me song title suggestions. I don't know if you, do your parents do this?
My parents don't, but definitely it's one of the hazards of the profession, I would say, is that people will have ideas for songs that they want you to write.
Yeah.
And I always tell them to write them themselves.
I tell my dad that a lot, too. But he came to me with one title, and he was like, you know what would be a good title for a song? So Sad Dad. and so I wrote him a song when he turned 71 called Don't Be So Sad Dad, which was a fun, peppy song. So,
no, I hate to see it when you're feeling down, when you mope and sigh and fix your lips into a frown. You may be feeling sleepy or a little uninspired, and then there are some days you set the old grill brush on fire. But don't be so sad, Dad.
Yeah, but he gives me a lot of title suggestions. I think his most recent one, he suggested this many, many times over the past year, was The Ravages of Time. Which is, I guess, fits pretty well in my traditional oeuvre of depressing songs.
Oil in the ocean, sometimes Mom likes to yell. But on such vague unpleasantries, there is no need to dwell. Life can be a struggle, victory seems small. Never know when you just might hit the Powerball. So don't be so sad, Dad, when you could be glad, Dad. It's the latest fad, Dad. Go out and have some fun.
And my dad still, to this day, he really is so funny, and he is a great storyteller. And I think that was sort of evidence in the interview that I did with him.
Oh, yeah.
Because it was really funny. You know, I'd asked him I had a phone call, and I was like, Dad, you know, I'm recording this podcast with my friend Jacob. And then I had to describe what a podcast was.
Yep.
And I was like, it's like a radio show, but it's on the internet. And it's like, okay. And I said, you know, I was going to talk about Harvey, and then I wanted to do an interview with him. And this is, you know, a phone call sometime before Thanksgiving. And he was like, oh, sure. And so he was sort of, you know, he was a little shy about it and a little reluctant. But as soon as the microphone was in front of him, it, like that, he just sort of turned on and I think got back into the storytelling Ed mode. His name's Ed. How did you come up with the ideas for your stories?
I wished I knew that. They just came out of the blue and they were there. Whether a word would set off something in my mind, or did my goofiness, silliness, whatever, I couldn't actually say that I thought them out, that they were just spontaneous.
Okay. So you're just a creative spirit.
I would like to think so at times. But it would have been great if it would have been on a continual basis. But I think at times creativity hits all of us in flashes, and we either some work for great good and some for entertainment, I think, like these stories did for the kids.
Because storytelling is a tough thing to do off the cuff, I think. You know, as a writer, I'm able to put together a song or a story, but I'm not a great sort of off-the-cuff thinker, and my stories tend to be, as you have witnessed in this interview today, a little rambly and kind of all over the place. But I think he really can put together a cogent, funny story that, you know, at least for my brother and I when we were kids, and I think for, you know, our family and friends and other folks that my family knows, because his stories aren't just kids' stories. You know, he could just tell stories about something that happened to him, you know, in the parking lot of the Shop and Save or something, and sort of make it interesting and funny. Yeah, but my dad's definitely very creative, and I think does does underestimate his own creative powers. And that's why I always tell him when he gives me these song titles, I say, Dad, you write it. You know, you write the lyrics. I'll help you put together, you know, I can play a little guitar or something. But he can write melodies, you know, and I think he could probably write some pretty good lyrics, too, if he set himself to it.
Yeah. If you're out there, Ed, I encourage that, too.
Yeah, consider it a challenge, Dad.
Yeah.
He had warts on his neck and hair on his nose, an artificial hip and 15 toes, and a wild side no mother's love could take. My brother, sort of somewhat near the time that I wrote this, my brother had had a hip replacement. So the artificial hip came from that. But otherwise, no, I was just trying to paint a picture of someone who was distinctive looking. He had a lot of toes. Warts, you know, I guess just the one wart, a wart on his neck, which is not so bad. I mean, who one neck wart, I think as far as things go, that doesn't really preclude anyone from being considered attractive.
Well, yeah.
Someone was asking me today, my friend Mary was asking about the women's names too, and sort of how I selected those. And mostly it was that I wanted them to have kind of a vintage, like a retro feel to them. You know, it wasn't like Brittany.
Right.
And that sort of thing. But Judy is my mom's name, so she's in there. She has a cousin named Jackie, so she was in there. I have a friend named Anita. I don't know any Myrnas, although I would like to.
Any Myrnas out there?
Yeah.
Hit us up.
Look me up. Send me an email.
Yeah, and then I kind of assumed that you started with the reindeer names.
On Dasher, on Dancer, on Prancer and Vixen, on Comet, on Cupid, on Donner and Blitzen.
And then kind of backformed women's names so that it would fit into the same rough scheme.
Sort of syllabically.
On Jackie, on Judy, on Marianne and Joan, on Myrna, Anita, why won't you take us home?
Yes.
Trick of the trade, folks.
Count up those syllables. I definitely wanted it to have this sort of retro vintage feel and sort of, it's definitely inspired by some of those kind of, I'd say like early, like the 60s country songs. And definitely, I mean, it sounds a lot like A Boy Named Sue.
Well, my daddy left home when I was 3 and he didn't leave much to Ma and me. Just this old guitar and an empty bottle of booze. Now, I don't blame him because he run and hid, but the meanest thing that he ever did was before he left, he went and named me Sue.
So I think that talkie part is definitely kind of draws from that, as well as, you know, I'm a big Dolly Parton fan, and I feel like Dolly will often have, not that she necessarily, well, she actually does have some songs in that style. I don't know if you know the song Joshua by Dolly Parton.
Well, a good ways down the railroad track, there was this little old rundown shack, and in it lived a man I'd never seen. Folks said he was a mean and a vicious man, and you better not set foot on his land, but I didn't think nobody could be that mean.
And it, in fact, similarly, oh, I'm sensing a theme on the talkie songs. Because, you know, a boy named Sue, obviously someone who is this sort of, is an outcast because of factors beyond his control. And in the Dolly Parton song, Joshua, too, it's about this sort of man who lives in a shack, whoever is sort of like an outcast of the town, but then becomes a perfectly suitable love interest for the narrator, Dolly Parton. But it definitely has that kind of like rapid, really quick, talky kind of feel that I think some of those early country songs have. And you know, and I would say it's probably a little bit influenced, too, by Roger Miller songs. You know, Roger Miller, King of the Road.
Mm-hmm.
And he has some kind of funny songs like Dang Me.
Out all night, running wild, woman sitting home with a month-old child. Dang me, dang me, they ought to take a rope and hang me. High from the highest tree, woman, would you weep for me?
So the story is about, now I'm going to get deep about it, oh no. But obviously, you know, Harvey, as you can tell from the first verse of the song, is a little bit of an outsider, you know, he's kind of a misfit, which I think is sort of a common theme in a lot of kids' stories, and certainly in those Christmas specials, you know, Rudolph and Hermie the Elf, it was sort of the same thing. They were just a little bit different kind of outsiders. And then Santa, I think, out of the kindness of his heart, you know, sees Harvey, recognizes him as a hard worker, even if he is maybe a little down on his luck, and certainly down on his luck with the ladies. And so Santa kind of gives him this extra responsibility. It's like, you can come out with me, join me in the pinnacle, I would say, of an elf's year and many people's year, you know, Christmas Eve, you deliver the toys. And then can I swear on the show?
Yes.
Yeah. And then Harvey just fucks it up royally, which I think is, you know, I feel like we've all sort of been there where, you know, you get a little something and you're feeling so good about it and confident. And you're like, yeah, man, I'm going to, you know, this is real. I'm going to celebrate some good times. And then, you know, Harvey celebrated a little too much and wasn't totally up, I think, to the responsibility that Santa gave him. Who can blame him, though?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's something that I hope that many of us can, well, maybe not hope that many of us can relate to, but I think we can. I think we've all sort of been there where you're like, oh my God, what have I done?
Yeah.
And, you know, and certainly the concern about disappointing a lot of people. In this case, it is the world's children that he is disappointed. That's probably a little worse than just your boss or, you know.
Well, his boss, too.
And that is true. But your boss and the world's children would be kind of a heavy load.
That would be tough.
You know, I think in the end, when Santa comes and finds Harvey, you know, one, I appreciate that in the song, Santa is benevolent. He's a benevolent dictator. but, you know, I think he hits upon that key point of, you know, that Christmas has become so about materialism. And Harvey, in fact, maybe did everyone a favor by not just dispersing all sorts of toys and gifts that, you know, children will likely forget about in a couple weeks, too, and then will just rot away in a landfill somewhere. Not to disparage all the hard work of the elves. I mean, they're making quality products, I'm sure, that bring joy to many.
Now think about how hard these elves have to work to get all these toys for all the little children all over the world. And I bet they had some more than 8-hour days. Do you think maybe that they abused these elves a little bit?
Oh yeah, I don't think there's an elf union that I know of.
Very true, very true. So I think they probably worked really hard. And so when they got some time off, they wanted to relax.
You can't blame Harvey is what you're saying.
Well, overindulging, you know. Not good on Christmas Eve.
He ruined Christmas, but was it really the conditions, sort of the systemic inequities that are foisted upon elves that caused it to happen?
Oh, wow. That's a deep question. That is a deep question.
Yeah.
Yes. I don't know. Yes.
Yeah. I guess the overall theme is that sometimes the impact that we think that a situation or an action that we take might have can end up being sort of vastly different or have sort of a different set of impacts and outcomes that we couldn't have predicted and wouldn't necessarily think of from our own perspective. In this case, it was that, you know, families were forced to actually kind of talk to each other and just enjoy one another. Now, if this were a true tale and children did not get any presents on Christmas, I don't know that it would go that smoothly. But, you know, I think eventually.
Would burn to the ground.
It already is burning to the ground. It's 2016, December. So where do you think Harvey is today?
Well, I don't know. Ed thinks he's in some home. But I don't know that elves really age. I don't think elves really age. And besides, with his drinking problem, he probably just became a little pickled. So he hasn't really... No, I don't think elves age.
Yeah. So you think he's just still working at the shop?
I think he's probably a supervisor.
So if people would like to hear more of your music, what should they do?
They can go to cardboardoxmusic.com. Cardboard Ox is the name of my duo with my good friend Steve Elaine.
Past guest as well.
Yes. And so we're putting out a holiday EP, and The Ballad of Harvey the Elf will be on it. So you'll be able to find that on our website. You can also look me up at tracypotochnik.com. I will spell that for you. It's TracyPotochnik.com.
Yeah, well, thank you for talking to me for this special Christmas episode.
Thanks, Jacob. Thanks, Dad. Is there anything we haven't talked about that you would like to add?
Not really. I think those who may have the chance to hear the song or watch the podcast, if I come off a little goofy or whatever, it's look at me. But I think you'll enjoy it and see the creative touch Tracy has put to it. Just visualize. Close your eyes when you listen to it. You'll enjoy it.
Harvey the elf lived at the North Pole. He was a funny little fella with a heart of gold, but all the other elves would laugh and call him names. Well, he had warts on his neck and hair on his nose, an artificial hip and 15 toes, and a wild side no mother's love could tame. When a shift was over at 7:45, Harvey'd take a walk to St. Nick's Cafe, and he'd try to charm the lady elves inside. Ooh, he'd buy him a drink and ask for a dance, cause Harvey believed in true romance, and when they turned him down, this is what he cried. Oh, Jackie, oh, Judy, oh, Mary Ann and Joan, oh, Myrna, Anita, why won't you take me home? Don't toy with my heart, then put me back on the shelf. Life ain't easy for Harvey the elf. Well, it was almost Christmas the night before when Santa came knocking on Harvey's door and said, I need a second in command. Well, you've been working so hard in the shop all year and you got away with those old reindeer. I thought maybe you could lend the boss a hand. Well, Harvey was bursting at the news from the points of his ears to the puffs of his shoes. Then Santa said, take the sleigh out for a test drive. Harvey, Harness, Blitzen, and the rest of the gang, then away they flew as those sleigh bells rang. He sang this through the snowy, silent night. Oh, Jackie, oh, Judy, oh, Mary Ann and Joan, oh, Myrna, Anita, you should have took me home. Now toyed with my heart, then put me back on the shelf. Could be flying high with Harvey the elf. Well, Harvey had good intentions, but not much sense, so he headed down south to Providence and landed on the roof of the Hot Club. Well, he thought he'd stop in for a little rest, but his scores of witnesses can attest, an elf in a bar on Christmas Eve gets a lot of love. Well, he had tequila and gin and rum on the house, spilled maker's mark on the barmaid's blouse. By the time the eggnog came, he was on the floor. As he swallowed down a shot of Jack, he took a look at the clock and cried, I gotta get back. In a flash of green, he stumbled out the door. So everybody knows that Santa's sleigh has no keys. It has no engine. The whole thing is completely reindeer operated. And to get it to start up, you have to do one thing and one thing only, which is to say the names of the reindeer in consecutive order. Like so. On Dasher, on Dancer, on Prancer and Vixen, on Comet, on Cupid, on Donner and Blitzen. But Harvey was not in full possession of his faculties at this moment. So he climbed onto the rooftop, stumbled headfirst into the sleigh, and this is what he shouted.
One, two, one, two, three.
On Jackie, on Judy, on Mary Ann and Joan, on Myrna, Anita, why won't you take us home? We're in quite a fix, if I say so myself, hollered Harvey the drunken elf.
Well, it took a few days and a couple of hours, even for Santa, who has magic powers, to find poor Harvey passed out on the seat. I ruined Christmas, Harvey cried in shame, full of guilt and doubt and blame. But what Santa said then brought him some relief. Oh, at first everybody was in a tizzy, without new iPads to keep them busy. But then they started to talk and laugh and sing. Harvey, you might be surprised to hear it, but you unearthed the Christmas spirit that no material stuff could ever bring. Well, Santa patted Harvey on the back and he tucked away his toy-filled sack. They were just about to take off through the trees. Ooh, but at that moment, Santa Claus looked down onto the street and paused. He said, Harvey, let's go have a round on me.
Oh, Jackie, oh, Judy, oh, Mary Ann and Joan, oh, Myrna, Anita, don't wait up for us at home. If there's a moral to the story, go find it yourself, just like Harvey the drunken elf.
May your holiday season be always top shelf, just like Harvey the drunken elf.
Here's a question for you. How bad was Harvey's hangover the next day?
Oh, terrible, terrible. When Harvey finally woke up and got his head a little bit clear and start recalling what he did, I would just tore him up to no end. And he tried to talk to Santa, but he had a hard time seeing him. And when he finally did, Santa told him, "You'll never get in my sleigh again, Harvey. Never." And Harvey was confined to the yo-yo making toys on the bench of yo-yos.
Wow.
So, yeah, Santa was mad.
I don't remember those details. So, Dad, do you think, was this a one-time occurrence, or do you think that Harvey had a drinking problem?
No, it was a one-time occurrence, and it was before the following Christmas. Harvey was, he was put on Social Security, and he had a steady income, and Santa forbade him to go to the shop and even go near the other elves, at least they get corrupted.
Hey, Harvey. Santa is a punishing boss.
Well, yeah, huh? Yeah. Well, Santa's not all happy ho-ho-hos all the time. He has his mean streak, too, and when he has to have it.
Well, I'm sure if you're delivering presents to all the children in the world, then you have to have pretty exacting standards.
Oh, you do. You know, you only got so many hours to do it. And after so many years, you do lose a little bit of the magical powers that he had. And sometimes that's why a lot of kids don't get anything. And their parents tell them, "Well, you were bad." No, they weren't bad. Santa just didn't get there.
Okay.